Welcome to Econ 91.9, your weekly look at how the peninsula works. I'm Shaywin Cochran. This week, the borough's land trust fund. It was a bit of a political football last year. Sitting with around $7.5 million, there was some interest in using that account to fund education or balance the borough budget or both. Those efforts from borough administration failed to get past the assembly. Instead, it was thought the fund would be better put to use by coming up with a long-term plan for its investment rather than sort of puttering along at basically the same rate as a savings account. The Assembly did that this week when it adopted a resolution establishing the Land Trust Investment Fund, which, at its core, is meant to get the maximum value of lands that have been given to the borough to sell. Marcus Mueller is the borough's land manager.
We have the opportunity to go beyond that and to have good financial health where our program's sustainable, and on top of that, provide additional financial benefits back to the general fund. A lot of this model is based off of what the City of Kenai is doing, where you take and manage your financial assets well and use some of that to support your operations, and you keep those long-term assets around so that they're available to be managed for in the long term. In the case of the Kenai Peninsula Borough, the borough is going to be here for a long time. It's going to need a land program for a long time, and this is our attempt to make sure that we're sustainable and forward-thinking.
The borough brought in an investment advisor, Alaska Permanent Capital Management, to help put an investment strategy together. That group's Blake Phillips outlined the details in a recent finance committee meeting, talking about striking the balance between risk and return.
You want to have higher return levels, but you want those to be good risk-adjusted returns. Currently, with what our outlook is, once you kind of get up into 70-85%, we don't think you're getting paid enough for how much additional risk you're taking, right? You want to be in a position where you're getting more return than the additional risk. Risk-adjusted return is really the key to focus on. So based upon that, and also the different dynamics of sustainable distribution rate, and also just the volatility within the portfolio, given the various moving parts between LTIF and LTF, we're recommending a 55% stock allocation with 45% bonds. This can reasonably support a 3.75% distribution rate, while also making sure that we inflation protect principal.
Phillips says their projections show a slowdown in both stock and bond markets, but on the stock side, they expect a long-term annual return of about 6%. The models were based on an initial investment in the fund of $5.6 million, and over the next decade, that's expected to more than double, to a little more than $11 million. And in a way, it will sort of act like the state's permanent fund. After 3 years, the borough would benefit from the earnings coming off that fund. Borough's Chief of Staff, James Baisden, says they're pretty happy with the plan.
It's a balanced portfolio. There is risk involved, but they've reduced the risk by putting it in a balanced portfolio. And from the presentation we saw last week, I think he's looking between a 4% and a 6% return is kind of right on the mark. And I think basically what I would look at is this as this really being kind of our little permanent fund. And then they've reduced the risk also because they're not buying individually stocks. They're buying indexed into the different stock market. So I think they've done a pretty good job.
The resolution includes a number of benchmarks against which to gauge the performance of the different assets in the fund. And based on the projections over 10 years, even in the worst case scenario, there will still be growth totaling about $2 million. Now time for this week's number, 347,919. That's how many million cubic feet of gas were pumped from the kitchen lights unit of Cook Inlet last month. That unit is served by the Julius R. platform, where a jack-up rig is doing the work. Fury Operating runs the whole deal, and this is news because it's taken several months for the company to rebound production after issues with hydrate freezing over the winter. In March, the company produced less than 70 million cubic feet, and last November, before the cold hit, production was at more than 800 million cubic feet. And that will do it for this week's episode of Econ 91.9. You can catch every episode at our website, kdll.org. For Jay Barrett, I'm Shaywin Cochran. Have a great weekend.